Hello and welcome to Funny Mummies, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian and writer, and I'm blessed with two lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, but also those that are aunties or friends, because let's be honest, we all need the help of our non-tired mates. Join us as we find the funny side of parenting, life, and being bloody great women.
Happy Mother's Day!
You're listening to the Funny Mummies podcast with me, Hattie Ashdown, and on behalf of the Other Woman show, sometimes on Soho Radio on a Thursday. But if you're listening to us on podcast, well done you. It's a new year. If you're listening chronologically, I can never say that. I don't know why I try to attempt to say it. And of course, we've got a special one today because we're just sort of catching up. And we've got Gemma Beagley, of course.
Hi,
and of course we're back on Zoom, Gemma. We're back on Zoom. Just it's retro now, almost. Well, yeah. Some have never left, because if you listen to the last one when we had those funny fathers, we were in the studio. It was all nice and crisp and clear, but we love a bit of Zoom action. And as we're all busy mums, it is just the only way, it seems, these days. So we're having a catch up with someone we haven't spoken to for a long time. She's a mum of two. She's a comedian by night. Not so much now. But
one day. It's just energy levels.
Yeah. Once a comedian, always a comedian, oh darling. She's now the owner of Peace and Riot. And if you don't know what that is, you're about to find out. It's Caroline Noop Hardy.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Welcome back, my love.
Thank you.
So, yes.
Nice to be back.
I think the last time we spoke to you, we did have Peace and Riot as a little sponsor thing when we were doing those free sponsors for people, because we like to women lifting women,
and
so we had that. But I think the last time you came on, it was still a pipe dream.
I was still raising funds and still wondering what on earth if this was a good idea or not. I mean, that's definitely true still, but I did raise the funds and managed it, and we had it's been a bit of a crazy old time, because we were going to sign a lease in March 2020. And of course, I don't know if you remember what happened in March 2020, but a global pandemic hit and we were all locked in and locked down and all that jazz. And the landlord actually was great. I mean, I say he was great, they were great, but to some degree, they were kind of like unlikely to have people knocking their doors down either. But they waited. But then in that time, I lost some of my funding because some of my investors were hospitality and leisure people, so they kind of had to put their money in existing businesses, not, you know, brand new concepts that were completely untried and tested. So lost for that, but then did a little bit of a small raise again, and I got in touch with pretty much, so the business is for women as parents and for men as parents, but bearing in mind the number of, you know, I think it's about 80% women are our customers, and 20%, it's rising at the moment, but it, when we started, it was like 10% men, 90% women. But we had hardly any female investors. So I did a big push for anybody I knew to just please give me some money. Yeah. And we went from having one investor out of 9 that were female to 27 female investors. But interestingly, all those 27 female investors were still significant. Still only together about 1/3 of the largest, well, one of the average input from the male investors. So if you ever want to know where the power is, go and raise money for a business. You'll know where the money is and where the power is.
And just to quickly explain what Peace and Riot is, who doesn't know? investing in?
Well, it's Peace and Riot is kind of empowering people who parent, and we're trying to help people with that transition from human to parent and back again. And it's providing childcare whilst you work or while you rest. And it's different to a creche. So you don't have this, we're trying to avoid things like separation anxiety. You don't just turn up and go, you know, bye-bye, mummy loves you. And then you have the kid going, wah! And you spend 30 quid to have a child cry at you to then go and sit and be guilty and not get much work done for 2 hours and come back and collect them. But it's, we also have, so they stay, they're kind of, you're all in the same space, but you have, it's a bit like in the 80s where you had home helps where people had, you know, disposable income and people would be able to come and help you. Or if you have a parent who can come and help you. And, you know, and I mean, I don't have that for various reasons, you know, not on tap. And lots of people I know don't have that for various reasons.
Well, you're both in, because you're in London, for anyone, I just found out, we are raising very high in Slovakia. So, you know, in the Apple charts there. I'm not joking, Emma.
Why not? In Slovakia.
Yeah.
So, hello, Slovakia.
Hello, Slovakia.
Your business is based in London, in college. And obviously, you know, it's a stereotype, but a lot of people don't come from London, so they haven't got their family near.
Yeah, but I mean, I think also as well, a lot of people have kids older now, so you don't have parents necessarily to hand. I think it's also the fact that 72% of millennial households, and people think millennials as young people, they're not, we're getting old people. 72% of millennial households have both parents working, which is a huge shift. So it used to be about 20% of both parents working in households in the 1990s. So that's quite a big difference. And
really, as late as the 90s?
Yeah. And I think the statistic was counting over a certain number of hours as well. So you might have one parent that does like 10 hours a week or something, but if you're doing a significant proportion of your time, yeah, it's gone right up. Anyway, so people need support. And I also think that bearing in mind that figure, I think it's really important to understand that there's no role modeling of what this looks like to people. And you know, the guilt is real. Like, I mean, my children, I think particularly post-pandemic, but even when I sort of had a job, like a straightforward job, I had clear hours and I was back in time and all that sort of stuff. But now I'm not so much, and my youngest will occasionally go, "Mommy, I hate you I was like, why you know, I love you and I'm so sorry you're feeling like that, you know. Been reading up on
validate their feelings,
what not to say, what to say, and why do, because you're working. I think that everybody can go, well, I could work till six, pick the kids up from nursery, and then it's okay. Then you've got, well, hang on, that's probably like an hour before bedtime, so I get to sleep like an hour a day. And what's great with Peace and Riot is that you could pick up your kids at three and then take them to Peace and Riot, and you can hang out, you can hear about their day. And to be honest, once the kids talk to you for about 20-30 minutes, they're kind of done. And then they want to go and do something far more interesting than stare at your face. And so you can have that catch up. And then there's toys and there's staff around who are far more energetic and interesting than we are. And then they go and play and you can sit and carry on with work again. So it's kind of like enabling people to have a flexible approach to work, really.
And it is fantastic. I have been there, as have Gemma. And I sadly, I don't live that near, but I took a long journey because the invitation of eating lovely food and having, I think we had a couple of Prosecco's and coffee. Good. And
that's the idea.
And we sat outside. And yeah, we had a lovely guy who I think is a dancer.
Maybe Jason or Grant. Did he have dark hair? Yeah, Jason probably.
Jason. And our boys just loved him. They followed him around like the Pied Piper. And and yeah, it was just great.
I know. It does work really well. I mean, I think that there are still kinks, and we've been open 6 months. We've learned a lot. And just in terms of scheduling and working out when our busiest days are, because it's really difficult to judge. So we can staff according to bookings, but sometimes you just get a massive rush of walk-ins and you're like, oh God.
Yeah, I really.
But you know, we're tiny. We are so small, and we've opened in a pandemic, and it's we're being as flexible and as nimble as.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, when it was coming to a point where I think you were probably, you know, going to open, you were so great with keeping morale up on Instagram of like advertising your different gins and things, and I thought, what is going to happen? But so bring us where we are. So against all the odds of a pandemic, you still opened.
We opened in 2021. We opened in, on the 21st of June 2021, right. Which was allegedly, well, not allegedly, it was planned to be Freedom Day. And I've been under quite a lot of pressure, actually, to open in May. That was supposed to be the initial Freedom Day. And I was like, just open then. Like, you need to open. But also, I think that when you've been spending money for a rather long time, people start to want to go, can we just stop to actually have some money for it? And also, we had tricky things like, our furniture didn't arrive because at the same time we had the Suez Canal, not the Suez Canal crisis, that's a very different thing, but the bloody boat was sat in a boat. And so our furniture was in a container somewhere, and so we had to rent a load of furniture, which was really expensive. So that was fun. So we opened, and then, I just don't think it's a good idea. I think it's going to be today. I don't think anyone's ready yet. I think it's going to be a problem. And then we didn't. We delayed it. And then on the 21st, it was still a bit of a problem. And we opened at 50%. We could only have 50% capacity. But with full staff. And it was, honestly, guys, it was really hard. But the side that was, though it was hard, the bit that was good was we had things, the big wins we've had. So, like, we opened on Monday, having shut over Christmas for 18 plus days, whatever it was. We got an email from a customer who said, I haven't been for a while, but I came in through the door. My happiness levels went from 1 out of 10 to 7 out of 10, just like that. And we make the trip from Lewisham, which is not easy, but I never regret it. Thank you for your work and your lovely, this lovely place and all your hard work or something like that. And then we had another member who credits us with enabling her to return to work. She had such appalling postnatal depression, so she's now buying membership for and paying it forward for somebody else so that they can experience it. We've got another member who has two adopted children, and he described his experience to women. We go, oh yeah, and men go, what? Which was that he was in the Isles of Asda, had sort of nervous breakdown. He was standing there in tracksuit bottoms. I know, we've all been there. Tracksuit bottoms, he hadn't washed, that were stained, and the t-shirt hadn't washed. And he was just like, oh, what have I done? And because they'd, for various reasons. And that experience of not washing or being washed for 4 days is very real to a lot of people who are on maternity leave. And anyway, he's back to work now, and he's relaunched his business. And then we had another guy where they had a really tough time, him and his partner, where their roles were completely reversed in lockdown. Their roles went from him, he was supposed to be going into the office and she was supposed to be sitting at home. But his job meant that he could, because of lockdown, he couldn't go into the office, and his role was going to be furloughed, and they really couldn't afford it. And then it looked like he might lose his job. And so they made the decision to switch roles so that she could go back to work and he would still be furloughed, but then they can afford it. But so he was really miserable in this role. She was really miserable because she wasn't seeing her baby. And it was really, really hard. And even during lockdown, going to parks, you'd think that parks would be somewhere that would be equally welcoming to men and women. But actually, it was mostly women for him that were standing in groups and looking after children.
Yeah, that's true. I'll be honest, if I see men in the park, I don't talk to them.
Before or after children, Hattie?
Before children, yes.
And before.
You're not just a baby, you're not just babysitters, you are changing people's lives.
Well, that's the
aim. Mental health and getting them back to work. I mean, I know, you just saying about the after school thing would be brilliant. I mean, I wish you were down the road for me, because I do have that window of like they're at school till 3, and sometimes you're like, I haven't quite finished everything, and I just need to just be on call. When they come home, I'm trying to do a thing at the moment of having no screens or anything for the first hour of them coming home. But I'm only on week 2 and it's going all right. But the problem is, if there's a particular day where there's something, I'm waiting for something to come through, I've then got to like respond straight away. Yeah. And it's hypocritical if I'm then on my screen, on my phone. And that sort of, coming to peace and right would be perfect for me, because I could just sort of like sneakily look and they can be playing, but I'm still there, and not feel guilty. So
it's all about removing guilt. I mean, there's so much, we're all torn all the time. I mean, I'm here now, it's Saturday. My kids are with my husband, but they, at the beginning of the day, they were like, yay, it's the weekend, so we can see mummy.
Yeah.
Not later. And they're absolutely fine, you know, yeah. But they are. But it's not, it is a practical solution for the reality that you do have a dual role of parent and worker, at, you know, all the time. And but also just for parents, for people to just, and guilt is tiring. Guilt's a tiring emotion. It doesn't let your brain work well. Like it's
and I it's a waste, because if I think if you're feeling guilty, you're actually, it's a sort of, it's a worry. Guilt is just worry, and yeah. If you're worrying, you, it means you care. So you're not, you know, those who are not worrying and don't care. You're not the ones to... But Gemma, you've been starting a new job, obviously, and I know, have you been, how are you managing any mum guilt? Are you just like, oh, I'm all right?
Yeah, the beginning was hard. I'd sent Al back to after school club and stuff. And I'm going to say he's had the luxury of mum dropping him off and picking him up and stuff. And even though yeah. I'd get home and I'm a warm body there in the house with him. So it was a bit of an adjustment. And I said to him, it's just how it is right now.
You're listening to the Funny Mummies podcast, the mum meetup you don't have to get dressed for.
Now, we know you've had a Knife and Spike. You did a comedy night.
Yeah.
Peace and Riot. And obviously, I know that, well, we should have said, like, obviously, you are open in the evenings, but not to bring your children.
No. This is not advised.
Complete adult zone in the evening.
Yeah.
But yeah, yourself with comedy, we'll get to that in a minute. Yourself with comedy. So, you know, I mean, obviously, you've got a lot going on. But do you miss it? Is there anything?
Yes, I do miss it. I miss it a lot. Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think there's a lot of a crossover between hospitality and comedy in a way.
Of course.
But it's full of people just going, I'll just do it myself. I'll just do something on my own. I don't want to do my own thing. I think it's a similar kind of group of people who kind of don't necessarily fit, actually, if you see what I mean.
In the normal world of the man.
Well, I also think it's like hospitality is like trying to make sure people have a nice time, and comedy is about people having a nice time.
Yeah, so, do you think there's, I'm putting a bit of a, for yourself, it's, you're always performing, you know, your theatre, you know, your stage is now obviously all the customers and.
Yeah, so interestingly, when I was performing, I used to get terrible nerves, I mean appalling nerves, it really bad. The first time I performed, the amount of times I went to the loo that day, I just thought, I remember sitting there sort of the 18th time, 19th time. I mean, it was really right up into double fist. There cannot be more that needs to come out. Why is this still happening? And it was awful. And that didn't really, to be honest, change. But it got a bit less, but maybe only half. But then my nerves got better when I started thinking about it, less about, I hope people are going to like it more. And I started thinking, I hope they're going to enjoy themselves, or I hope I do a good job and they have a nice time. And then it did actually change completely how I felt about performing. Mm,
yeah.
It was funny.
That's an enormous, because I've been trying to work on improving my nerves and stuff. And that's an enormous pressure on yourself. And I think, like, one of the things I've been rereading stuff, I've forgotten his name. Stephen Rosland, I think his surname is, mastering stand-up says, he's like, he says, I say to all my students, you know, the most important thing I'm going to say to you before you go out is have fun. Now, it's a cliche, but he's so right. If you just go out and go, right, okay, best I can do is I'm going to have a laugh.
Yeah.
And it does help. But you've got to get yourself in that mindset, whatever that is for you, whether that's, you know, pretending you're telling one of your best mates this story or whatever it is, or, you know, I don't know why people always refer to, I'm going to pretend they're all naked.
Yeah, no one needs that.
Why? That would make me be sick.
Tried hosting an open mic night and hearing that opening line from new acts maybe three or four times a night.
You must do.
Really?
Oh my god. Oh, someone says to picture everyone naked.
Okay. Do they have a joke to follow that up?
Like, they do, yeah. It's like,
oh, do they?
Yeah. Oh, now I'm finding it difficult to hide my whatever.
Oh, no. So you haven't if you haven't heard a good one for that, then someone, at least if you're going to do it well.
Which I was just rocking back and forth uncontrollably in memory. Yeah, so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, I started doing a sketch comedy with my friend Joy, and that was very scripted, and I used to drive her insane because I would write it and then I couldn't remember it. You wrote this, why can't you remember? And I was like, well, and I was gonna say not like that, but actually no, pretty much like that. I drove her mad. And then I tried to stand up in the same way, that being quite scripted, and I found that quite hard. And I realized that I've always had it, and it's about sort of accepting a bit, like, who you are, man, like, oh my god. But a bit that I've always had a bit of a scattergun brain. It's not very linear. Yes. And so when I started doing stand-up as opposed to sketches or as opposed to character work, I did let that kind of funny thought come into your head. I'm usually, no, script, script. And I did let go and chat. And I was better. I'd like to go back to it, like, but because I think that I was getting better, but I wasn't getting better at it being an income.
Yes. Well, join the club, love. Still not, but I'm still doing it. I don't know why sometimes, but there you go.
Ooh. Love it.
Yeah, and I do, and I have got a lot less nervous. And the answer is just doing it more. That's all I can say. It's just doing it more. And I think I was similar to you. I just knowing your stuff as well. And actually, for me, in some ways, unless I'm emceeing, not listening to that voice that goes, that's just coming to my head, because whenever I watch stuff back, that's the bit that's crap, because people just, well, anyway,
I'm gonna remember it.
People just want to see, I don't know, unless it's, you know, obviously something really funny, but when you're just like, oh, I just remembered that I left my tongs on, oh, I don't know. they don't want to know. And
I mean, this is it, unless it's funny, but you kind of don't know until you say it out loud. And I was told, and I know we talk about sort of open mic, new act stuff, but record every single gig, because those throwaway lines could be really funny, or, oh, actually, that's the start of an idea there that you that you'd forget on the bus on the way home, you know.
But look, I've got an audience. I ended up, I'm sure you do, all of us do it, the kids, you end up making up songs with your children. Then they're not good songs, obviously. They usually involve bums and poos and something else. But I was just telling a story about when I had, so after I'd had the kids and I was trying to, I was 14 stone when the baby had come out of me a second time around. That is more than an obese 6 foot man.
Can I just say, I think I was 14 stone last year in lockdown, but go on, Karen.
But anyway, so when the baby was out of me, so I was like, right, I've got to exercise. But at the time, and I hadn't had my period yet. Like, I just for years and years didn't have it for a long time. Oh my god, it was bliss. God, bring on the menopause. I'm perimenopausal now. I'm like, how do I speed this up? I don't want a period ever again.
Really?
Yeah. At the moment, I've got them every 23 days, and I'm like, so for it's a minimum amount of time in the month when I'm relatively sane. Anyway, so but I ended up with the audience singing a song where it's when I was exercise going, I've pissed myself. Oh no, it's my period. And I ended up having that as like an actual song and dancing at the same time, like doing high kicks. Don't have a piss myself. Oh, it's okay. It's my period. And then just poof. And it was all that. And it was really fun. And then everyone was seeing it. And that wasn't scripted. And
you shock me.
Yeah, shut up. But it was the most fun. It wasn't necessarily the best joke, but it was the most fun I'd had. And the audience did come with me. And I remember saying that about a friend of mine that did the hit thing. He went, really, are you sure they came with you? I'm like, yeah, they were standing up and they were singing it. They came with me. Shut up. It was really nice. And sometimes it's not necessarily, oh, it's this amazingly crafted joke. I mean, I love it. It's not necessarily, you know, sometimes I think people want, that you want people who you respect who are great joke writers to sit there and go, lovely. When you've made a joke, that was lovely.
Yes.
Like, you don't necessarily want the laugh. You want them to go, yes, that was lovely. Well done. But actually, it's more fun sometimes just to bring people with you and just have a really good time.
Well, because the audience want to be as in the room. So sometimes, you know, they can...
Yeah.
How when it's something you've done lots of times, but I mean, Sorry, I'm going into the technicalities of bloody stand-up now for anyone listening, but let's be honest, so many mums start doing stand-up, which is so crazy. I know so many mums stand-ups that started it after they had kids as a way of getting out for the evening.
No one's listening. It's like,
yeah, no one's listening. I'm gonna get out. But I think what I meant was there's a difference between if I'm doing I've got my bit, you know, so I'm doing my bit on talking about
your tight 10.
Yeah. So if I'm doing a bit about Debbie, who I work with, when I was doing Nutella, and you know, so I'm doing which I'll get to Debbie in a minute, and I'm doing that, and then like I'm sort of leaving it a bit improv, and then yes, I'm like, oh, I never thought of that, because that writing brain just has more power when you're saying it out loud. Even it doesn't happen when you're in your bedroom on your own, but when you've got the audience there. But what I'm talking about is that thing of like doing a bit of material, but then observing something in the room or something doesn't always work, and all you've done is, you know, made them look like you don't know what you're doing. And that's the main thing, is to make them look like you know what you're doing. But
yeah,
obviously sometimes observing in the room is they love it.
But also if you have to call it sometimes, like if you know a door falls off its hinges, you can't
just ignore that. No,
you know, it's just like I think you do have to call stuff, you know, call stuff in the room as well. And but it's you know, I get used to get frustrated when I used to care what was going on in the night, but people would turn up and they would spend the whole 10 minutes, whatever, you know, dicking around. And it's like, no, you've been booked off the back of your, you know, of your good 10 minutes.
Right.
You know, and especially when they weren't particularly skilled in improvisation as well, it's frustrating.
Yeah. I've
run nights and you do put people thinking, oh God, you know, and I think particularly if there's a generosity, I suppose, that you're hoping for, in that if the evening that far has been more misses than hits, you're hoping that the person you've booked at the end is the surefire hit. Yeah. But then that person you've booked is maybe not getting the fee that they usually get, and they're like, well, I'm not going to save your night, pal. I've got a massive night tomorrow and I've got to try this. So.
And they've got nothing to prove anymore, so they're kind of like, I'm just going to try some of this new stuff, or I'm just going to chat to them. But
I do. On a human level, I completely understand it. As the booker who's got to have people walk past you and look at you like they want to bury you, then it's a bit of a downer. But I totally, I think if I were ever in that position, I probably would behave badly as well. That's not true, actually. I'd probably give, end it with a good joke. A good joke, but definitely muck about in the middle.
Well, now everyone's knowing the workings of a messed up stand-up brain. So, but audience, anyone listening, please go and support live comedy, because we really need you at the moment. Well, I say at the moment, if you're listening in the future, so it's January 2022.
But I think people need it anyway. And I think it's like, I think it's even outside of pandemic, just support live comedy, because without it, then you don't have the kind of comedy that can develop and end up on screen ready for you. So it's a kind of long-term investment.
I find it really unenjoyable to watch stand-up on TV. Like I can't.
Oh, do you?
That Apollo, sometimes I flick onto it and I go, I can't bear it. Being in a room. I would rather spend 20 minutes in a I'm sorry, smoky room. So I'm not being smoky for 24 years or whatever, but in a grotty basement of a bar, watching someone die on their ass for 10 minutes than watch some polished 15 minutes on Live at the Apollo.
I do understand what you mean. So people I know from the circuit and they've got their bit on Live at the Apollo, and I actually love seeing it then, because I might know it already live. And I think, and I like to see them, and I think, you know, and I go, oh, well done, that's brilliant, you've done it. That's fantastic. And that's something really nice and celebrated. But I do know what you mean. If there's somebody I don't know, interestingly, I'm much less interested. I don't want to watch it. Because there's a distance there that I don't really enjoy.
Yeah, and also speaking to like normal people, like people who kind of, you know, just people, audience.
That don't go to live comedy.
Don't go to live comedy. And it was fun. I was speaking to an older woman in a late 60s a few weeks ago. She was going, oh, comedy on TV is absolute rubbish. Well, you can't say anything anymore, it's a load of rubbish, you know. And I said, go to your local comedy club on a Friday night. even if it's your not junk job, but you're not drunks anymore, but you know, you're kind of your kind of standard Friday night club night, comedy store, go.
Comedy store, 99 club.
The magic, mostly. The magic and the beauty is in that room, and it's for one night only.
Yeah.
I went to, the last thing I went to see was, I saw Stuart Lee before the, before we all went into lucky kind of lockdown again. And it's something that he's performed hundreds of times, he's about to go on tour with it. But I was sitting there and I was experiencing, I was going, this is happening just for me, just tonight, just, you know.
Funny enough,
I
mean,
I will never lose that magic.
Oh, yeah, Gemma, that's given me shivers. That should be an advert for live comedy. In fact, I think I'm going to use that as a little voice bite for my show. I'll just change Stuart Lee to Hattie Ashdown.
Exactly.
Of the sentence.
Gemma with Hattie in it.
She was doing that for me.
But it's true. Me and Joy went to see Bridget Christie in Folkestone, and it was the same thing. And it was just so... And there is something, the emotional, it doesn't have to be emotional boohoo, but like just the fact that you've got all those people in a room together, and it's funny, you do have this strange kind of group herd mentality thing when, and you as an audience, even though you've not shared a word, you don't decide, are we going to like this person before? You just somehow, you all as a group go for it, or you don't. And I think when they do, it's really, really fantastic, and it is an amazing thing that you can't replicate it. I mean, no. Even if you, and we tried to show the kids, because we're so aware that they haven't gone to anything because sodding lockdown, and also we haven't got much money. But we're trying to sort of show them on the box kind of concerts and things like this is what a concert's like, you know, this is how amazing it is, and you can see them going, you know, because it's not the same, they can't really.
I know.
Football match as well, same thing, you know.
My little, my oldest one, you know, me and Gemma have taken our boys to the South Bank, and we saw a show, which was now a couple of years ago. Mm. And, you know, he has quite been into theatre and stuff. And I'm just sad because we haven't been able to go. And now I want to continue that first. We went to see Stickman, and he loved it. He was into it. But the little one, who's three, who's a real pandemic toddler, he would just go, I want to watch it on the telly, said. But he is also only three. And he's just that camaraderie. And I was explaining to Hux, it's so weird, you feel like you're like something from Black Mirror or something, so I'm getting touched. Now, let me tell you about how a pantomime works.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know your Auntie Tracy, because my sister used to be in Amdram. She used to be in pantomime. It's like, really? It's like, oh my God, what have we come to?
In the other four times.
Put it all in a time capsule. We've got to wrap up in a minute. So we always like to ask Caroline, our guest, you probably remember last time what you like to do on a night off with about the kids. And this is going to be guilt free because you've spent all day with them. You've played with them. You've been doing
all fascinated
tea parties. Yeah. You've been doing little tea parties and all sorts with them.
Feigned interest at all times.
Yes. Probably anyone's listening going, I can tell you don't play with your kids. You've got two boys and playing tea parties, but I do.
No, mine like that. They love that. And there's a really good, you know, Bluey? I love that programme. There's a game in it, which is King and Queen, and that is the best game. If you've not watched it, the King and Queen game is you sit there on your fat ass and you say, I'm going to be the queen. You've got to go and find stuff. And they love it.
Mine like playing the grannies, and we have to be the grannies on getting on the bus.
I love the grannies.
They're so good at doing the impressions. Anyway.
Yes, absolutely. Probably the time off, actually. Finally, I understand the subplot. Really understand the character development.
We talked about Bluey on the last podcast. I think you have to be sponsored by Bluey now.
Yeah. What would I do on a night off?
So night off, who are you going to be with? Where are you going? What are you eating? What are you doing?
Okay, right. Now, I'm not prepared. I've forgotten what I do in my own spare time. I mean, I would like to go and see, I would really like to see friends. And to be honest, it doesn't matter which group. I've got a group of school friends. I'd like to see my sister without us both having our kids talk. That's really, or my mum. But just us, that'd be really, really nice. And then And I've got a group of friends where I live locally as well. We all know each other sort of in a sort of lockdown scenario. I'd love it if we went out in a non-lockdown scenario, yeah. You know, not kind of on the front doorstep.
Yeah.
Yes. That would be really nice. I think really it's just people. I mean, I did sort of have a complete breakdown. My husband suffers from depression. And in the pandemic, he was like, this is brilliant. I have never been so calm and happy in my life. And I was going I can't see people and I was going mad and I was really upset and I was really stressed and really down about it and felt kind of it's completely imprisoned and he felt emotionally released from
everything. Because he didn't have that pressure to see
people and he loves seeing people, he just doesn't want to see them all the time, you know, like he just he found it and he was like, remember how you're feeling now? This is how I feel the whole time. He just didn't want he was so much better. His depression was 100 times better. And it was, you know, that kind of, and it is about the pace of life. Anyway, so answer to your question, I would go out and I would also have wine that doesn't give me find magic wine that doesn't give me a hangover.
Yes, you can have anything in this dream.
Yes, because I now get really bad hangovers.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Like, punishingly bad. Like, you know, when one eye starts to go, and yeah, and in fact, it's that eye that goes, if I go like that.
Probably because you're not sleeping enough. In this world, we'll give you, you know, you can sleep in wherever you like and sleep in. So then.
Yeah, and I would go away and I would go out and I'd be able to stay over at anyone's house, hotel, floor, don't care. And then I would wake up in the morning and nothing in that area would be my responsibility.
I thought you were going to say, I wake up in the morning with nothing on.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to say.
No, I get very cold these days. I go to bed in pajama bottoms, t-shirt and a jumper. Occasionally a scarf. And I've got socks on. I mean, I am sexy as fuck.
Is any of us naked sleepers? I'm not. Are you, Gemma?
I used to be. Yeah, we used to hug each other. When we don't do this anymore, we know our life's over. Well, that was about 10 years ago. So that was, we've been together for 20, shit, hang on.
I'm not going to say who it is, but someone who's been on the podcast a few times. I remember her saying years ago that was the secret to their like keeping things like, you know, alive in their relationship was sleeping naked. But now
that is why I wore pajamas because I'm.
But now. You want to keep it alive. You want to kill.
She's correct.
Any spice.
She's correct. I mean.
But you can't with kids, because I don't know about you, but like. They get in the bed and my kids are obsessed with my body, not in any weird way, but you know what I mean? They're like, I don't know, they always go, Mummy, we love your tummy. And they go, on my tummy, and this sort of stuff. And, yeah, oh, it's so wobbly. I'm like, yeah, thanks for that. anyway, on that note.
I'm so body confident, I don't mind. Yes, carry on.
Yes, please carry on. So you're going out with your friends, leaving your depressed husband at home. Waking up naked this time.
Yeah, not naked. Nothing my responsibility. I'd also like to go and see some comedy, but I think probably I'd like I'm definitely one of those people where people go, oh, I've got to go home. And I'm like, no, don't go. And like, why? Yeah. I hate those people. I always want to know if the night's still young. Caroline is well.
Yeah.
There's still time. And I would still want, so it'd be like an endless night. That would be it. That would be great.
Oh, you're one of those. Well, thank you for giving us Endless Podcast Edition. Terrible link. Is there anything you'd like, obviously, apart from your wonderful big business? that's the only thing you need to big up, really, isn't it? I mean,
I think look up Peace and Riot, Reddit, like, subscribe to find out, so you can find out about us. We don't send out, we used to send out lots of newsletters, but we don't anymore because I've got too much to do. But you get one every now and then, and we're raising more funds, so hopefully we'll be opening up more. But also we're trying to launch a digital membership. So we're working with two women called Isabel and Lucy, and they're both kind of, one's a business psychologist, the other one works in careers advice and education and all kinds of that kind of area. And we're putting together a kind of range of talks where you can log in and you can get that kind of help with returning to work, how to get the most out of your kit days, how to renegotiate your hours, how to cope with losing confidence. I mean, that's a big And so there'll be a digital online membership as well.
Caroline, you're going to save motherhoods. You and Mother Pucker. Well,
yeah.
Come to save us. Thank you so much. I look forward to my next visit. Gemma, thank you, darling.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Please do tell more people. I know it's not just. Thank you, Slovakia, for listening.
Yeah, so Slovakia, tell everybody else. Thank you.
Tell everybody else. Because that's the only way people know.
Yeah.
Thanks very much. Keep sharing and caring. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to my panel and guests today. Edited and produced by Scott Kingsnorth in association with Screaming of Laughter, the lunchtime comedy club where babies can come too. These shows go out live on Soho Radio for the Other Woman show. See schedule for details. Please subscribe, rate and review and share this podcast. We really appreciate it and it's the only way more people can find us. So see you next time for more Mum and Tonic.